You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, all right, we're going to shift gears here. Number one of the triple dipper, I've already done it. Is he in or is he out? Nobody can really tell what Biden's doing. He doesn't appear to be campaigning. Some folks think it's because he thinks he's already gotten the bag. I can understand that argument. Other folks are looking at it going, he's not really trying because he's not really going to run. I don't know, man. All I know is it's the lamest thing I've ever seen. There is no effort being put into it. There's no staff. There's no, you know, real evidence of superfunding. And if you look at the amount of, you know, infrastructure that you're supposed to have by now, even when you're uncontested for the most part, for the love. But I guess when you figure you got it in the bag, that could be very well much, that could be it. Hey, listen, we're going to shift gears now, though, and let's talk about last night. So last night was the beginning of the primary season in terms of major appearance campaigning. We had quite a few, not all, but quite a few of the Republican candidates on stage in Wisconsin. Fox News hosted it. Brett Baer, Martha McCallum. It got a little feisty, got a little energetic. The only person not on the stage that could have been was Donald Trump himself. In the meantime, what I want to do right now is spend a few minutes talking with people who are regularly on this show, who have great insights that our audience is used to hearing, one of whom is on the line right now. So without further ado, let me just go ahead and bring in my friend Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune. Scott Buttram, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Phil. How you doing today?
I am good enough. How about that?
Well, sometimes that's all we should ask for.
I think Charlene is tired of me saying that. Somewhere along the line, I developed that as my answer, and this is what I keep using. But all right. So, Scott, last night, I want to get your thoughts. We can do some random, but I've got a couple of pointed questions for you. First thing out the gate, should Trump have been on the stage, in your opinion? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, as a newspaper publisher, I always want to hear from everybody. So, yeah, my preference would have been for all of the candidates, including Trump, to be there. Now, that said, Trump kind of sucks all the oxygen out of the room, any room that he's in. So I'm in some ways okay with a debate or two without him. So we could get to know these other candidates a little bit. I said today on our Tribune Unscripted show, I say this to Biden voters, I say this to Trump voters. My gut tells me things may be very, very different in November of 2024. Mm. So I hope that, and I'm not discouraging anybody from supporting either one of those people. If that's who you want to support, go with where the Lord leads you. But just in case I'm right, please be looking at the other candidates because your voices will be important if your candidate of choice is not there. So from that perspective, I'm glad people got to see the other Republican candidates without Trump. I absolutely hope he joins the debate at some point because it's unfair to voters and Americans not to be able to hear from him.
No, I totally agree. And I'll be honest with you. I look at it, too. Like right now, CNN is salivating and just drooling on itself because Trump's on his way to the airport for his trip to Atlanta. And so the night before he has to get, you know, go through the whole process of actually having somebody take his mugshot, which to me is a whole other segment. But I look at that and think, okay, that's probably not the night you want to be on a stage with everybody else who's gunning for you. And the beneficiaries of his absence, like you said, were really the others on the stage who got a chance to let themselves be seen without being in the shadow.
That's right. And Phil, I agree with you. I mean, you're right. Last night was the eve before he goes to Atlanta to be booked. I mean, that's a big deal, no matter what you think of it. That's a lot on the person involved with it, which is Trump. That's a lot on him. And that's also something we need to think about. This is going to be the fourth time. This is going to be the fourth indictment, the fourth state he's been indicted in. He is going to be dealing with this for the next 2-3 years. You're an attorney.
Yeah.
3 years might almost be conservative the way we've seen some cases drug out. But What he's dealing with right now is something he is going to have to deal with throughout this campaign, and it is something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about who was there, man. So who was the high point and who was the low point? Who really kind of came out and sort of showed themselves to be somebody worth looking at?
Well, I thought they all had strong points, and I thought they all showed some weaknesses as well. I think let's start with Chris Christie, the North Dakota governor, who I can't remember, and Mike Pence. While I thought Pence made a decent showing, all three of them need to go home.
Yeah.
They're not going to win anything. They're not doing anything but taking up space, and we need to be focusing on actual contenders here. And on all three of those, all three said things I liked. They also three said things that didn't really move me. But the reality is I think all three showed that they are not actually contenders, and we would all be better off if the non-contenders would step away.
Well, I don't disagree, and I felt like Chris Christie was just the angry candidate. Everything came out of his mouth seemed like he was just mad and almost like spitting his words. But who'd you like? Who stood out to you as like, wow, I didn't see that coming, that was a good moment? Who'd you like?
Well, the two that stood out to me were both – actually, one of them was very much more understated than I expected it to be, and that was Ron DeSantis.
Okay.
I thought he showed good mastery of the issues, and the thing that attracts me to DeSantis is where Trump had some great policies, fantastic policies. They were good for this country. They turned our economy around. Foreign policy was good. Everything Trump did policy-wise was much stronger than ever dreamed it would be. But Joe Biden made about 95% of it go away on day one.
Yeah.
And that's the difference in Trump's policy, or Trump and DeSantis. The policies are similar, but DeSantis' policies that he put in place in Florida, he made them stick. So I thought he was strong. He is a very understated guy. When we saw him here in Birmingham, he was understated.
Yeah.
And that takes a little getting used to, but it gives a little bit of an air of confidence. And I thought he did what we expected him to do, what I expected him to do. I thought that Nikki Haley showed incredible depth on foreign policy, which is exactly what we would expect from a former ambassador to the United Nations, probably our best ambassador to the United Nations. She showed a lot of strength and depth on a lot of issues, actually, but really on foreign policy. She came across very strong, very confident, because she knows that world. The guy I was watching was Ramaswamy, because I keep seeing him go up in the polls. People I respect have said, yeah, I really like what he's got to say. And in all honesty, I've not been able to figure out the appeal, so I really wanted to focus on him last night. And I walked away understanding why people are attracted to him and a little bit terrified that people are attracted to him. He's a salesman.
Okay, yeah.
That's the attraction. If you don't hear anything else out of the debate, go listen to his closing statement. That is a salesman hitting his sales points, going through his PowerPoint. God is real. The southern border needs to be protected. It's all these statements that the majority of conservatives will agree with, and somebody made the comment to me last night, well, I like his policies. No, you like his position on policies. You don't like his policies because you don't know what they are. He doesn't have any policies.
That's a good point.
He's just got positions.
That's a good point.
And he really, really does terrify me, because that's a candidate that can come out of nowhere and win and get in position, and they don't know what they're doing. And if you want an example of that, Barack Obama.
Yeah, you're absolutely
who had
right.
All the words, very articulate, but he had no real plan. And so when he got in, we went extreme left, and we all know what that's led to since then. So Ramaswamy, I would just urge voters, go beyond what you hear. Politicians are good at talking, and a politician that's a salesman is great at talking.
Yeah.
Find the substance. I can't find any with him.
I look at Ramaswamy, and I think to myself, what a great future the man has potentially in governance.
Yes.
But I would love to see him actually get into maybe a cabinet-level position for a period of time, learn the ins and outs a little bit, and come back with his experience later. Well, listen, brother, we got about 30, 45 seconds here. Give me your number one winner and your low-level loser from last night. Who would they be?
I thought the strongest showing was actually Nikki Haley, believe
okay.
it or not.
All right.
And the one that I just didn't feel got anywhere was Chris Christie, because you framed it better than I could have. He just came across as an angry candidate. And I don't dislike Chris Christie, but I felt like he was the loser on the night.
All right. Well, Scott Buttram, I knew you'd have some thoughts and opinions, and yes, you did not disappoint. My brother, we appreciate you making time. We're going to take a series of these calls, and you led the way on it. So you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, Boone, let's take a break right now. We'll come right back. Next one in the queue is scheduled to be Lee from Huntsville. Saw her last night at Terry's Pizza, by the way. It's just cool to get out of the car, and there's people, you hear their voice on the show all the time. Lee from Huntsville coming up next with her thoughts. We're doing number two on the Triple Dipper, Debate Insights. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Continuing with number two of the Triple Dipper, which is a series of calls with folks that are on the show and providing their input consistently throughout the months as we go by. So let me just continue that theme right now. Lee from Huntsville, who has guest hosted for us before and has usually stellar opinions when she calls in, is on the line right now. Lee, it was good to see you last night at Terry's Pizza, by the way.
It was good. It was great. I love seeing everyone and putting kind of faces and names and seeing Mo. It was nice.
Yeah, it was good, good, good. All right. Well, hey, listen, I don't want to waste our time together. We got about 7 or 8 minutes. So let's start off with last night's debate real quick. Your thoughts on should Trump have been on the stage or no?
I have to agree that he tends to suck the air out of a room. So I think what he did was wise in one sense, because if you look at the, I think they said the ratings were 23, 24 million for the debate,
yeah.
And he already has 230 million plus views on his interview with Tucker. So he's laughing all the way to the, you know, election. So if you can get 10 times the views where you're the only candidate and you're the focus of attention, did he do the right thing? I think it's pretty clear. And I do think it was good on this one because we got to, since you're going to have 8 people, you can't have one person dominating the entire conversation, which
yeah.
you would have.
Yeah. Okay. Great points. I was going to bring up the Tucker thing, too, at some point, and I'm glad you did. But I didn't know it was up to 230 million, though. That's unbelievable.
Yes.
It's like, I think I've heard that it's the most watched ever interview in the history of interviews. So,
the history of interviews.
That's right. In the history of ever.
I don't doubt it. And it hadn't even been 24 hours.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. Well, it's all right. Let's do this. Then let's shift to who was there. Your thoughts on who were the high points? Like, wow, I didn't see that coming, or that person stood out. And who were the low points in the evening?
I have to say that for me, the winner was Vivek.
Okay. Ramaswamy, yeah.
I felt like, because now I've seen him a good bit, but a lot of people that I talk to who aren't, you know, newsies and watching political stuff weren't really familiar with him. And I think he kind of broke through that in a big way, and he was able to get his message across. He has a bit of a different approach on a lot of things because he sounds it. He's not a politician. You can hear that. Although, to me, he's a debater, almost like Ben Shapiro in a way.
Yes.
Very talked quick.
Yeah.
Debates, has a ton of points. You can't trip him up, that sort of thing. But he also had a different approach in a lot of ways, and I think it was fresh. I do like him. I wonder, though, there's things I wonder about him as far as, you know, is he really up for it? But I thought he did a really good job. I thought DeSantis did a good job. There is a contrast between him and Vivek. He's more understated in how he handles things. He's a great governor. I thought he had probably one of the best lines of the night, which was talking about removing those two DAs.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, those Soros-backed DAs. I mean, that's just putting, just saying, I've done it. I'm here to tell you I've done that. I've combated what we're talking about. So I thought that was a that was one of the best points of the night. I think those two probably did the best. I was actually surprised by this Bergram guy. He looks like Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese? Okay, Boomer and I were talking. We had a different comparison, but I'll tell you that later. But all right. Well, who did you not like?
Or Fonzie.
Yeah, Fonzie.
I never liked Chris Christie. I don't like him in general. He like you said, he did come across as angry and some parts flippant. He's an ultra liberal Republican. He has no business up there. He isn't going to win. I don't care if he takes everyone hostage. He's not. I don't like Nikki Haley, so I come at this with a little bit of bias. I've always thought that there wasn't a war she didn't love. Mm. I feel she's also a neocon. She has always resisted removing troops. She is, and I'm not saying that's always what you should do, but I just feel like that her neocon attitude I've never been in line with. And she came across as schoolmarmish and scolding towards Vivek. It was like the Battle of the Indians, you know. And she was like, "I'm like the auntie, and you're going to listen to me," type thing. And I felt like she was almost trying to highlight that he was younger and inexperienced.
Did you just say the Battle of the Indians? Is that what you just said? The FCC is going to shut me down now. I just tell already.
Both of Indian heritage.
I agree. Mean, yes.
I'm just saying it was like they were going at each other and pointing, and it was like, wow, look at that. But I felt like she just came across as lecturing.
Yeah.
Shrill.
Yeah. Shrill is a word that I use. She got a little better as it went on, but early on, I thought she was coming out way too strong. All right. We got about a minute left here, Lee. Maybe a minute. So let me ask you this. Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Top and low.
Vivek is the winner. Loser, Pence. He should have done better. He's experienced in debates. He did well with the debate with Kamala.
Okay.
I just thought he came across as wooden.
Okay.
Very wooden.
Fair enough. All right. I knew you'd have good stuff. Listen, it was great to see you last night. We'll have you on again soon, all right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend, Lee from Huntsville. All right, hey, listen, I tell you what, this show has a whole buffet of people that can provide good commentary. You guys stay tuned. Coming up next, one of our listeners, Sparky from Harvest, is going to be calling in. We'll get his thoughts on where we're headed here. But you're hearing it, by the way. Like, there's differing opinions. Like, a minute ago, Nikki Haley was one of Buttram's favorites, and in this one, yeah, not so much. Kind of a meh.
I like hearing everybody's opinion. I mean, it's very interesting.
It's a little shaping for me. I hear it and I go, yeah, that you know what, you're right about that piece. You know, that kind of thing.
Because they bring in their you're like, oh, okay, I can see it in your eyes. I see that.
And I went in a little bit predisposed to think that Ramaswamy was going to be sharp on the stage, and he was, but I do believe that he also he looked a little immature at times, almost like he was too ready to argue. Like, no, you did. No, you. That's kind of the way I felt he was doing a couple of times. All right, music's playing. We'll be right back. Next on the line, we're doing Debate Insights, Sparky from Harvest. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, I'm talking about the most beautiful state, that would be this one, Alabama, in the entire nation. We cover down, our signal goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in, just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going straight back to the phones. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper. Debate Insights, I'm calling it, and I'm taking the insights of people whose opinion, well, of course, all of y'all's matter, but there's certain folks who kind of call in on a regular basis or guest host the show or whatever, and one of those, Sparky from Harvest, who is on the line right now. Sparks, how you doing, man?
Hey, outstanding. And before we talk, I want to clarify, I hadn't planned to watch the debates, but yeah. I chose to because, Colonel, you gave me a lawful and direct order to be ready to talk about it. So being the fairly good warrant officer I am, I did. Two, I didn't review any online kibitzing about how they turned out or who other people online thought about who won and who lost.
Okay.
And I did not listen to your earlier segments today, so I could have a fresh objective.
I'm going to go ahead, Sparks, I'm going to go ahead and just clarify, too, that I've never known a warrant officer to listen to what an officer had to say anyway. So, you know.
There you go.
All right. Let's jump right in, then. Let me ask you this before we go any further. Last night, the one who could have been on the stage that was not is Trump. Your thoughts, was it a good call or a bad call for Trump not to be on the stage last night?
I'm torn on that. On one hand, I think it could have done him a lot of good, but on the other hand, he would tend to take all the air out of the room,
yeah,
and they would have wasted a whole lot of time with even more bickering and tough time for the moderators to try and diffuse. So in a way, I think it was the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I said the same thing to some folks last night at the Terry's Pizza event we had, that the beneficiaries of his absence was everybody else who got a chance to be able to speak without being in the shadow. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a fair representation. Plus, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but today's the day he was having to fly. He's flying right now to Atlanta to actually, you know, turn himself in for another indictment. This time they're actually going to take a mugshot. That's a lot of doings the night before you have to do the debate, you know. So I'm thinking maybe just from his own personal standpoint, it wasn't a good time for it either.
It would have been way busy. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a big bombastic, big mouth character, and I love him dearly, but even though he's the Energizer Bunny, that's asking a lot for an older fellow to have to do all in a 24-hour period of time.
All right, so you watched the rest of the debate. So tell me this, Chief, you watched it. What were the highs and what were the lows? What stood out to you, good side and bad side?
First of all, the moderators, I thought Brett Baer and Martha McCallum did a really great job of moderating the thing.
Okay.
Having watched some where other networks run and moderate the thing, and they didn't strike me as the bias that I'm used to seeing. They seemed fairly objective. Plus, they did a couple of brilliant things. The questions where there was very simply, raise your hand if, that kind of caught me flat-footed, and I thought, that is brilliant, because we, as voters, got a chance to see whose hands shot straight up, who thought for a second, and then even who looked around left and right to see how other people were voting. That, I think, hurt Governor Ron DeSantis on one of the questions. The other brilliant thing is they brought up abortion, but they didn't ask the softball question, are you for or against abortion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, are you for federal intervention, federal law to prevent abortion, no matter how the state voters feel about it, period. Federal intervention to prevent abortions before a certain time period. I thought that was interesting and brilliant because, on one hand, somebody who's in a hurry to say I'm totally against abortion would also have to quickly admit I'm for more government laws and rules and I'm against state rights, because the state voters in each state right now, they matter. Because they get to decide as the voters and have their word on whether and how there's abortion in their state. And I thought that was a pretty brilliant quick.
Yeah, I thought it was, and I thought it also brought out some great discourse from the various members of the panel. So let me ask you this then. What were the low points? What did you see that you thought, man, you could have done that better?
Governor DeSantis looking around as a side before he raised his hand. A few of the guys did that. Lowe's, there was a lot of screaming and bickering that Martha and Brett had to moderate. But, you know, they get paid the big bucks to moderate, and they did a good job. I didn't see any huge losers. I was expecting somebody to just absolutely sabotage themselves, and I didn't see that. I didn't see anybody do one or two spectacular things to rise to the top. I thought Mike Pence had a great chance to rise in the polls, and I think he did not do that.
Yeah,
but that's Mike Pence. He's experienced. He's a good man and a good Christian, and his heart and his conservative values are in the right place. But he's a 190-pound sleeping pill for me. zero charisma about the guy, and that's weird too. Because years ago, I recognized who's Ted Cruz, Texas.
Yeah.
He is a brilliant, unbelievably intelligent man, but for some reason he doesn't have the charm or the charisma to pull it off, and he obviously didn't when he had the chance. So, I mean, that's not there. DeSantis had a chance to show some charm. You know, I will say DeSantis' people had him down a few pounds. He looked good. He looked tan. They learned from the John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon debates of 1960. He came out there looking sharp. He's a good-looking man, and I'm a heterosexual Southern man. So it's hard for me to say that. He looked good, but he didn't knock me out with that natural, easy, affable charm, which I wish he had, because I think it's weird that I'm against popularity shows and paparazzi celebrity. I'm anti-celebrity, but there's a certain amount of celebrity you need. There's a certain natural charm I think you need to woo some people and woo some voters.
Okay,
and so right now, even though I think Ron DeSantis, I really would love for him to be the president, but he just isn't that easily charming. You know?
Well, yeah, retail politics still means something. I mean, being able to shake the hand and be the convincing everyman is still a part of it, and you got to be able to, and not the fake kind of identification like Biden always constantly do. You know, like talk about corn pop or his house catching fire, but I'm talking about like really being able to walk among the people and be like one of the people while still having the capabilities to lead the nation. So, all right, let me ask you this: with about 2 minutes left. Highs and lows. Who was the winner? Who was the loser? I mean, if you had to pick among the pack, and you say, okay, that person, that was their night. They took it away. And then the one who just like bombed, like, wow, you get off the stage, dude. Who would it be?
I'm gonna say that's one of the hardest questions you've ever asked me, because. Everybody on that stage, if they were eventually the nominee, I would happily go down and vote for it. And I know a lot of people watch these kind of debates and go, I'm never voting for that guy, you know, which means, oh, obviously you would want Joe Biden and Harris to have the office for another horrible 4 years. So.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a horse race, you know. I don't think anybody sabotaged themselves, and I don't think anybody really crazy rose to the top. I think Vivek Ramaswamy, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, on one hand, he did the best and worst, because he was charming and funny. He got to showcase himself to the American people who may not have heard him. That was good. But he didn't clarify how he stole Barack Obama's line from several years ago. You may be wondering who this skinny guy is with the funny last name. I think he thought everybody knew where he was borrowing that from, and that's why that should have been funny. And all it turned into is everybody think he's plagiarizing it, which obviously Chris Christie did.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley came up a few ticks. Chris Christie, I think, I was prepared for him to be the worst on the stage, and he, in spite of people booing the man every time he criticized Trump, I thought he held his own pretty good, and I'm not a big Chris Christie fan.
So,
well, that's a good round robin, man. Well, listen, Sparky, as always, thank you for receiving it as a request and not as an order to come on and give us your thoughts. I know better as a lieutenant. I didn't even know what warrant officers did for a living. As a colonel, I still didn't know what warrant officers did for a living. But no, I appreciate you, brother.
As a 26 year Army veteran, I sometimes wonder if half the time what warrant officers did.
It's the warrant officer mafia. We know it.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Have a good rest of the day.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thank you so much. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back with our buddy Jeff Poore to wrap up this section. And then top of the hour, don't forget, it'll be Boomer and McQueen. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're kind of wrapping up our number two on the Triple Dipper here, Debate Insights. I've had a series of calls. We're going to put the capstone on that with our friend Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, the host of the Jeff Poore Show down in Mobile, also the editor-in-chief at 1819 News. He's on the line right now. Jeffro Poore, how you doing, bud? Did we get Jeff? Jeff?
Maybe on mute.
Hey, Jeff.
He's here.
Jeff, are you on mute? Now
maybe.
You've never done this before. It's the first time, I can tell.
No. I had I have a mic processor, and I had it off, and, it's just a big mess. Anyway, so I'm here now.
How are you? Hey, listen, we're talking about the debate. I know you sat up and because I yesterday on the Grand Council you told me how much you love primary debates, but let me ask you this: from your perspective, highs and lows, was there anything that stood out to you that you're like, wow, that actually was really good, or that person should get off the stage?
I don't know if I would give it a qualitative analysis like that. Some things that stood out to me, I think it's the rise of Ramaswamy. I'm not necessarily a fan, but I think he will be the guy for a lot of people now. He's like he played to the base and then added 10-20%, and that made him very distinctive compared to the rest of the field. I think that's important. I don't think DeSantis did anything to hurt himself, but he didn't do anything to help himself.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just kind of I'm just saying, do you remember the first debate in 2015 with Trump or any of that? So these things to me, I don't know. I find them underwhelming, especially when the front runner is up by 40 points as a participant.
Okay, so let me ask about that because I've been leading off with that question for everybody else, and I should have led off with you. So the elephant not in the room was Trump not being on the stage. In your opinion, though, was that for him was that the right thing or the wrong thing by not being on stage?
In retrospect, probably the wrong thing because somebody's going to rise to the is going to rise, come out of this and get something out of it, and it's going to take away maybe a little bit from everybody, very marginally, but it's such low numbers. I think the Vivek Ramaswamy is going to take a little bit, maybe a point or two away from Trump. So is it him not being on the stage and him being out Trumped by somebody else, I think takes a little away from him, but it doesn't put him in any sort of danger of losing the nod.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. But you just said that you think Ramaswamy would take points from Trump as opposed to DeSantis?
Yeah, I don't think DeSantis has enough points to take away. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It is very marginal. He'll take some points away from DeSantis, But just by proportion, just by the laws of math and the way I think human psychology works, he'll take more of a bigger chunk off of Trump.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Lowe's on the stage. Who do you look at and go, man, why are you even here? Who does you watch in terms of their debate performance and go, you know what? It's nice of you to put your name in the hat, but it's time for you to go.
Yeah, Asa Hutchinson, who was supposed to be like a never-Trumper type, he wasn't even a good never-Trumper. You know, at least Christie was a decent never-Trumper. I would say I thought Pence was better than I thought it would be. Showed a little passion. Usually he's very robotic. But Hutchinson should be up there. I was fine with Burgum. I thought he has a good message. Let's talk about China. Let's talk about energy. Some of the social issue stuff, they're a little kooky on up there. And that was another thing, Senator. I did not like the Fox questions. You had a climate change question. You had an abortion question. You had a January 6th question. And you have all these things that if I wanted that, if I wanted my conservative network to put that up there and make that the topic, go to CNN or somewhere. But you know, like this idea that we had to be beholden to Generation Z and their fear for climate change, I think it's nonsense. It's not really pertinent to a Republican primary.
I think so. So Fox Business apparently has the next one, and I'm going to bet that they've sort of divided up the issues. And I'm betting Fox Business is going to have the other issues on things like deeper dives on foreign policy, economic policy. So I thought the same thing. I thought this was a far more social policy-ish kind of, you know, even down to Chris Christie having the UFO question of all things. Was that weird or what?
They were on the wrong side of the social issues, though, right? Like, Republicans can't win if they don't soften their stance on abortion or whatever. I mean, what place is that in a Republican primary from the so-called Republican network? And I don't think she's right, necessarily. I think Republicans have not really proven that. No one's really proven that. Because, Senator, how many years, going back to the 80s and 90s, did Republicans run on these social issues, on abortion and things like that? I mean, they did. What changed?
No, nothing changed. The fact that the dog finally caught the bumper, and now they're trying to figure out what to do with it. But I thought the one who actually handled that the best was Mike Pence, who, you're right, is kind of wooden. He usually comes across a little robotic, like to use your word. But I thought he was the one who basically stood up on what he's always said, never changed it, and decided to go ahead and say it again, despite the fact that we're in the year 2024 election.
I mean, I did not like being lectured by Nikki Haley about what I need to think of protecting the sanctity of life in the womb. If this is just political opportunism and this is what they're doing, then say it. But don't expect a Republican base to change a stand for moral or for religious reasons just so you can win a presidential election.
Hey, so let me ask you this. We got about 1 minute left for the top of the hour break, man. So in your view, was there a clear and distinct person who came out ahead last night in terms of the debate itself, not the overall polls, but just that debate, and who lost last night?
I think short run is going to be Vivek Ramaswamy, and I think long term, Pence did a lot to help himself. Okay. Like I said, DeSantis did not do anything to hurt himself, but he didn't do anything to help himself either.
Yeah, DeSantis is going to have to break out sometime soon. I agree with you. Jeff Poore, appreciate you, brother. And 1819 News, and also with FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poore Show down in Mobile. Thanks as always, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll see you. All right, so there you have it. A round robin, Scott Buttram, Lee from Huntsville, Sparky from Harvest, and Jeff Poore from 1819 News. A series of commentaries. And it's funny how they're different. Have you noticed that, Boom? I mean, like, at some point in there, people didn't like Pence, some did like Pence. People didn't like Nick Haley, some did like Nikki. It's...
I like hearing it, and who knows, maybe you'll have a question about this, and I'll be eager to answer.
Oh, I suspect we might have this as a topic in Boomer McQueen that comes up next. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.